optimistic about the way that things are going.
No, I never ever think of it at all.
So it is Thursday at 4 o'clock. The show is called Out in the Desert. We try to talk about LGBT issues because somebody said there's like 30, 40 LGBT people in the Palm Springs area. So we're buying that, and we're do a show every week on 1340 KWXY, 1450 KPTR. My name is Michael Collins. And today, our first segment, you know, we're still in the aftermath of what happened in Orlando. And in next Tuesday, June 28th, there is another event that is memorable in the LGBT community. It's called the Stonewall Riots. And for those of us who were around back then, we remember, and we remember the legend. And I saw the movie, which I didn't think was so bad. And Stonewall is a name that is now synonymous with Palm Springs. And it's a place called Stonewall Gardens. Lauren Kabakoff, and who works there, and Jim Crowley, who is a resident at Stonewall Gardens, are with us this afternoon. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start with the event on June 28th at 2 in the afternoon in remembrance of the Stonewall riots. What are you guys doing?
Well, this is our second annual event that we're doing at Stonewall Gardens. This year, we are fortunate enough to have the mayor, who's going to be there. He's our keynote speaker. So it's an exciting event where everyone gets together. Last year, it was really wonderful. It was well attended. And we had another keynote speaker who opened up to the audience so everyone could kind of talk about their experience, if they were there, what they remember from that time, and kind of make it a community-focused event where everyone could be together and remember.
And talk about what has happened since Stonewall more than anything else.
Yes.
Because not many people were really at the Stonewall riots.
That's
Jim, you're a resident there. What do you remember about that? Where were you?
You know, I don't think I remember anything.
Yeah, okay.
One of the parts is I was probably pretty closeted.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 78.
78, okay. 70 is 80. It all runs together.
After a while, yeah, it doesn't matter.
And how did you come out? When did you come out? I mean, I'm in my 60s, I know. What we have seen since the Stonewall riots is just incredible.
It is. It's unbelievable. I mean, every gay person, I think, or almost every gay person, has a private part of their life that maybe their family doesn't know, a lot of friends may not know, and that's the gay part of their life. And it's changed so much.
People from our generation you're
yes,
talking about.
Exactly.
I mean, these people today, these kids nowadays, it's a whole different world.
It is. It's completely different. But in my day and growing up, you were pretty secretive.
Yep. You couldn't even say the word gay.
Right.
You'd be suspect just by making reference to it.
Right.
Of course, we didn't even use the word gay back then.
No.
Queer.
Yeah,
yeah. How did you... he's living at Stonewall Gardens.
Yes.
Tell us about Stonewall Gardens, Lauren Kabakoff.
Well, it's family-owned.
It's a retirement community?
Yes.
Is that what it's referred to?
Yes, it's a retirement assisted living community.
Okay.
So it is family-owned. My family and another family that lives here in the desert own it. And the idea came to be born, essentially, because my dad wanted to create a place that was something special, something different than the conventional assisted living that exists out there. And it really, we wanted to serve the people in Palm Springs. And we realized there was nothing like what we were doing. There was not an assisted living that really catered to the LGBT community. And upon doing research, we realized this is one of, I think, just two in the entire country. And so listening to the stories and speaking with various prospective people and talking to our residents, we realized how important it was to be able to have a place like Stonewall Gardens. So like Jim was saying, those hidden parts of your life don't have to be hidden anymore. They could really come out and you could, as a resident, be comfortable and not have to answer questions at the dinner table from your neighbor who may be giving you approving or disapproving looks, and just really create a wonderfully open and welcoming place to be.
One of only two assisted living communities for LGBT people in the country.
From what I understand, yes.
I remember as a kid thinking, I was at a dinner party once, and in the 80s, not that much of a kid, but somebody came up with the idea, you know, we should have assisted living or retirement homes. Yeah. For gays. And everybody said, what a great idea.
Yeah.
And nobody had ever thought about it right before. How did you get there, Jim?
Actually, I moved to Palm Springs about 2.5 years ago. And I've been living in L.A. for about 10 years. I'm from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and there I was more closeted. But as I got older, that kind of melted away. And then, of course, when I moved to California, I was meeting so many gay people, and that it really truly melted away. And then finally, I moved out here to the desert. And
it really melted away.
True. I mean, and it's so refreshing. And part of it is there doesn't have to be any secrets. And you're just amazed. You carry it for so many years, knowing who you can share about your life and who you don't share with. And been doing that for so many years that to all of a sudden find out this is an area you don't have to do that at all. You can totally be who you are. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, it is. I've got nephews and nieces. None of them are gay, but I tell them stories about what it was like. For instance, when you would go to a gay bar and the police would just come in, turn on the lights, make everybody stand there, and you know, it was just what would you call that, a knockdown?
They used to do it for fun back east, Michael. They would just know that on Friday nights, if they were bored, they would run into a gay bar, and you know this, in Minnesota, right. They did it, and if they were bored and there was nothing going on, they would take it, and it was a rite of passage for young cops, and they'd come in and not just line guys up against the wall, they used to just beat them up. Because they knew they couldn't say anything because they'd lose their job. The patrons would lose their jobs.
Well, when we talk about, let's get back to assisted living here, because Lauren, you sent me some information talking about how in New York City they ran a survey where if couples would call and if they said they were LGBT, all of a sudden people wouldn't open up their doors and let them in. Tell that story.
Well, it's from, I believe his name is Michael, I'm forgetting his last name right now, from an organization called SAGE, and caring.com had kind of done a little bit, beginnings of a story, tapping into this particular topic, and SAGE had done some research, it might have been a couple years ago, and they found that when folks would call into a regular assisted living, they would tell them they had certain rooms available. Then if they were gay, certain rooms that they had previously told what they thought were a straight couple were no longer available. And they found that that discrimination was something that was happening across the country. And it's in this day and age in 2016 for that to be happening, for that to be the norm for somebody to live through and go through is ridiculous. There's no reason for it at this point.
And the other issue that I've talked to people about is the fact that when you, from our generation, and you get old, if you don't have a wife, you don't have kids, you don't have family, you don't have a support group to fall back on. And that's one of the important parts of the Stonewall Gardens experience.
It is.
I think my experience is slightly different, but not so much for the people my age, that I was married and had one child before I came out. A lot of years before I came out. And so it's a little bit different than a lot of gay men who never had any children. And so I'm more used to doing things that straight people, quote unquote straight people, do.
You have a good relationship with your family?
Very much so. Oh, that's good. Why I'm okay. Really grateful. My daughter, who is now 40, and a mother with four children, I mean, she's been fully knowledgeable about my being gay for years. And so she was able to go through the whole thing of whether she wanted to tell her friends or not. She got into high school was she going to tell her friends? And she has been actually in her life more open than I've been. So it's been really wonderful to have that. And so when she picked a husband, she didn't tell me this at the time, but I've learned since that she, when she was dating, she would try to decide or wait to see if this fellow told any quote-unquote queer jokes or fag jokes. And she said if that happened, then they just didn't date anymore. And she never went into why, she just didn't. And so now I'm in a situation where her in-laws are very much supportive. I mean, they've had a lot to do with me and have been very, very supportive of me. And so, and she has four children now, three sons and one daughter. So just in the law of averages, she could very well end up with a gay, a gay son. But it would be absolutely no problem for that young man's parents, and it would have been a problem like for mine.
Oh, yes, I know. Talk about, when does a person decide they need an assisted living environment?
Well, I think safety is something that's always at the top of everyone's mind when they move to assisted living. Living at home can be alone, which so many of our residents do end up living alone, not close with family members, their friends becoming their main support group and their family by extension. When it becomes too difficult to live on your own, it's unsafe if you're a fall risk. And I always say if you are on a first name basis with the first responders, that's not a good sign.
Okay.
That's not good if they're visiting you so often that you know them by name. So the idea is that you move to an assisted living so you can be looked after. Somebody can make sure that you're in as safe as an environment as you can be. We have 24/7 staff that's there. They're all equipped to be able to help all of our residents, no matter what time of day or night it is. We provide three meals a day, so that responsibility of having to go out to eat or having to cook for yourself, go to the grocery store and carry the heavy bags around, that is lifted from our residents since we take on that. We also are able to help them with their medications, managing that for them, as well as, you know, helping with basic activities of daily living, getting dressed in the morning, bathing, grooming, all of those types of things. And then for those residents that no longer drive, we have a bus that maybe some of the listeners have seen around town, hopefully, and we can take our residents to doctor's appointments. We do outings, fun things around town, really to try to engage on a social aspect as well for all of our residents. So we try to do full circle with everything, you know, housekeeping, laundry, all of those things that are basic, and I think a lot of us take for granted, but as you age and it becomes more difficult, those things can become very big tasks.
Are most of the, are the people who are joining or getting involved in Stonewall Gardens or moving to Stonewall Gardens assisted living, are they from out of town? Do they come here from other places, or are they like Jim, who had been here for an period of?
I would say it's a mixed bag. Some have come. I think our resident that has come the farthest is from Ohio, directly moved from Ohio. But we've had some local Palm Springs people. We've had a resident move from
Florida.
Florida, LA. So we're really, I think, because there's not many of us in the entire country, people, as they learn about us in the areas farther away, are moving to Palm Springs specifically for this. So
I never thought, I didn't even have a thought that I would ever end up in a place like this, because I would see it as an old people's home. And I wasn't old. I'm still not old in my feelings. And so I never even gave it a thought. And then out of the blue, I developed a kind of an offshoot form of Parkinson's. And that really changed for me. The one part of Parkinson's that it's really affected is my walk. I have a difficult time walking, and so then falling is an issue.
Yeah.
And so a place that I never thought I would ever be living in, there would be no reason for me to do that, all of a sudden it's there. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I also had some different perspectives of what that sort of a place would be. And there's some places here that match it. I always saw it as more like an institution. Long hallways, rooms off to the side, and
people laying in bed all day.
Exactly. And so when I saw Stonewall Gardens for the first time, it's so completely different. I mean, it's basically, there's so much outdoor space. So whether you're sitting out in front on a patio, your own patio, or whether you're just walking around the inner courtyard, I mean, for this kind of, growing up in Minnesota and only having a few months out of the year that you can be outside, it was just really wonderful to think that you could be outside as much as we are.
I always love seeing Jim as I'm walking up the courtyard, see him on his patio reading his newspaper, maybe with a cup of coffee.
How's the social life there? Have you found people to hang with there?
Yes. We've had people move in and out. It's amazing. Some people move in and they move out because they don't like, one, for example, didn't like the fact that there was this open courtyard.
Oh.
They wanted it to be enclosed. And so, and we have other people that have other reasons to move out. But I've developed friendships there. And the other thing is I'm not stuck there. I mean, I have a social life outside of there. I can go to various activities here in the desert, and I can go to bars if I want. So I can have friendships both in and out of the unit. And there's a lot of independence, even around eating. I mean, we really have good
food.
Food.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we're small enough that it's not food that's been
mass produced.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they're dividing up when they get to Stonewall. All the meals are fresh. And so, but for example, I'm a little bit fussy about what I eat. So sometimes what they're serving, I'm not interested in. All you have to say is, could I have a grilled cheese sandwich, or could I have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich instead of whatever?
Whatever you eat, yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot of flexibility in the place.
We try to be accommodating and flexible with all of our residents. We only have 24 apartments, so it's has that small, intimate feeling where it's easier to be accommodating to our residents than a larger place that has 60, 80, 100 people.
Now, does somebody buy a unit? Is that the way it works? How does it?
It's month to month.
Okay.
So there's no long-term commitment or anything like that. It's just a month to month.
And where is it located, for those who don't know?
We're located, it's 2150 North Palm Canyon Drive. I guess the easiest marker is we're next to Toucans.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we're right next to Toucans, so we do.
Did I see him up there on Sunday nights?
You might have.
Oh.
Yes, might have. Yeah, and the Buzz trolley has a stop right by us, too, so I think Jim's
Oh, do you guys, do you take
to...
the Buzz? Do you ever go downtown in the Buzz? Or?
I have used it a lot.
Okay.
Because it stops right on the corner by Toucans. It's one of the stops. And so it's just walking out our front door, and there I've got transportation that takes me all around Palm Springs.
Let's talk about one more time the Stonewall Garden or the Stonewall Remembrance coming up on June 28th, Tuesday, 2 in the afternoon.
Yes. 2 o'clock at Stonewall Gardens. It's open to the public. Anybody is allowed to join us. If you can give us a call and let us know, that would be helpful. Our number is 760-548-0970 for anybody that wants to attend, or you can just show up and we'll
and
welcome you
the,
with open arms.
What is the website?
www.stonewallgardens.com.
All right. Quick question before we let you go. What have you learned about LGBT people that you didn't know before? Young Lauren.
Ooh, that's a really good question. I knew they were neat. My grandma used to work at the LGBT Center in LA for 10 years or
oh,
so.
Oh, really?
So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I guess I really connected with the stories of everybody and the struggle that I, as a younger person, did not know very much about. I think all of us young people are fortunate to have grown up in a more accepting environment and world, and hearing the stories, it's been heart-wrenching and eye-opening at the same time. So I think a profound respect for, I guess you could say, the LGBT elders has been what I probably have.
Well I'm impressed by your parents who have been involved in the LGBT community then, obviously, for a long time.
Yeah, they're open-minded people. They're wonderful people. My dad has been known to be around the community often, fixing things. So we are very hands-on.
Very much so.
Okay.
We take great pride in it.
Jim Crawley and Lauren Kabakoff, thank you for stopping by. Once again, it is Stonewall Gardens. If you are thinking about a place, check them out. And see you next week
Thank you.
For the Tuesday event.
We'll see you
okay,
there.
Okay, bye-bye.